you, ladies. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 26. That's in your Old Testament. If you find the book of Psalms and turn to your left a few books, you're going to come to 1 Chronicles. Now, that's not 1 Corinthians. That's in the New Testament. 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, chapter 26, okay? And we're going to be reading this morning verses 24 through 28 for the text. Now, you join me on those odd verses, please, 25 and 27. In verse 25, there's three or four Old Testament names, men in the Old Testament. Just do the best you can, all right? And we'll get along all right there, okay? Let's stand together, please. And we're going to begin reading in verse 24. Now, we're in chapter 26 of 1 Chronicles. Are we hearing each other? Are we hearing you out of there okay, Brother Caleb? Can you hear me okay out of there? Very good. Brother Tom, thank you for filling in today. Brother Payne is attending to his aunt down in Missouri who had a stroke this week and was left paralyzed somewhat. So he is with her for a few days. Just appreciate Brother Tom filling in. Very good. Verse 24 is where we're at. And Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was ruler of the treasures. And his brethren by Eleazar, Rehabiah his son, and Jeshahiah his son, and Joram his son, and Zichri his son, and Shelomith his son, which Shelomith and his brethren were over all the treasures of the dedicated things, which David the king and the chief fathers, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the host had dedicated. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer, and Saul the son of Kish, and Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated. And whosoever had dedicated anything, it was under the hand of Shelomith and of his brethren. Let's pray together as we get started today. Father, thank you for your word, and even the reading of it stirs our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'll take now the message that will soon be preached and use it today to glorify God and to exalt Jesus and to lift up and build up every saint in this room. Lord, if there's someone among us today who's never been saved, I pray that their heart might be very tender to your word and your spirit today. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've already bestowed upon us through all the fellowship and the songs and the good music. And now, Lord, bless this song to follow and the message after it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Father said, well done, my son. appreciate that this morning. I want to draw your attention to that text we read just a moment ago in 1 Chronicles 26, if you look at it here. Verse number 27 is where the thought for the message this morning is going to be taken. And then we'll look at the verses around it, all right? Verse number 27 says, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. I'm going to explain all that. Out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. I want to speak on the subject, dedicated spoils. Dedicated spoils today. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on the message. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you one last time because we certainly need your help. Without you, Jesus made it very clear that we can do nothing. We believe that and understand that. We know that if anything good happens this morning, it will be the direct result of the Spirit of God. And so I need to yield myself to you, and I do so even right now. And then, Lord, all the listeners need to do the same because, God, we want to have a service where the Spirit of God will have liberty to move in amongst us and do a good work. So, God, would you please come now and help us through the message and speak to our hearts out of this passage of your book. We'll thank you in Christ's name and amen. Here's the setting. David, the famous slayer of Goliath and now king of Israel, had a very holy and righteous desire. We're backing up some time before chapter 26, okay? He longed to build a permanent temple building, for the worship of Jehovah God. He had a house in which to live, a permanent house. And he longed for God to have a permanent house instead of the tabernacle or the tent that had been used to worship God for all of those years. And so David, he longed to have this temple, and he shared his dream with Nathan the prophet. And Nathan's immediate response was, boy, that's a great idea. Why don't you go ahead and try to do that? That'll work. And so David's all excited. Well, Nathan went to his house, and that night God came to Nathan the prophet, spoke to him in a vision like he did the prophets in those days. And he told David, he said, Nathan, I want you to go tell David that he is not going to build the temple. He's not going to build the temple. There's been too much bloodshed by his hand. That's all right, but it's just not right for him to build the temple. Rather, I'm going to have his son Solomon do it. And then he also went on to give David what we call the Davidic covenant. He said, you tell David that forever, somebody from his family will sit on the throne of Israel as king, descendants from his family. And he made this covenant with David. And so Nathan did. Nathan went and he told David, he said, king, he said, man, I was all excited about you building the temple, but God came to me last night and said, that's not going to happen. He said, Solomon's going to do it, but God did make you a big promise. He's going to keep somebody from your family on the throne of Israel for the rest of the year. I mean, it's forever. Somebody from your family is going to reign. Boy, David, he worshiped God. And that's where he said that. They take that great song, Who Am I? And he said, Who am I? And God should do this for me. Who am I? And so David was fine with it. And after hearing that from Nathan, he set out to prepare all he could for the building of the temple in order to help his son Solomon. That sounds like a normal dad, doesn't it? Dad wants to help his son. And so, my son's going to build the temple. I'm going to do what I can to help him. And so he starts helping prepare all of these things. Now, when you get to 1 Chronicles 22, we're not going to turn there. Four chapters before where we are this morning. David starts that preparation. Not only preparation of materials, but he starts assigning different people responsibilities about the temple building. He gives a responsibility for the temple building to this person, and he gives a responsibility about the temple building to this person, and he gives this family a responsibility. And he gives people oversight of different aspects of the preparation. Well, in verse number 24 of our text, the Bible says that a man named Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was ruler of the treasures. And so he said, okay, Shebuel, I want you and your family, your brothers, to be ruler of the treasures. Then you get down to verse number 26. You read about a man named Shelomith. Shelomith and his brothers were given a very special responsibility concerning the treasures. Verse 26 tells us about that responsibility. You can look at it. Which Shelomith and his brethren were over all the treasures of the dedicated things, which David the king and the chief fathers, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the host had dedicated. Stop right there. So this other fellow, that name of Shebuel, he and his brothers and folks have responsibility and oversight over most of the treasures. But Shelomith and his brothers are given an extra special assignment. They are given the responsibility over and the oversight of the treasures that were dedicated. Some of the treasure in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, was not dedicated. It was treasure, but it wasn't dedicated. Good treasure, special treasure, wonderful treasure. And that one fellow, Shebuel and his brothers, they watched over it. But there was some of the treasure that was dedicated. And Shelomith and his brothers had the oversight over the treasures that were dedicated. All right? Now, what were these things? These were things that David, the Bible says in verse 26, and the chief fathers and the captains had dedicated to the house of the Lord. You find that out in verse number 26 and 27. These things were dedicated. They were consecrated. They were set aside. They were dedicated or designated for the soon-to-be-built temple. So, here's a microphone. And this microphone is part of the treasurer that's in the city of Jerusalem. And Shebuel and his brothers have oversight over this microphone. But here's another microphone. And this is a different kind of microphone because this microphone is dedicated. This microphone is dedicated to the service of the house of the Lord. And so Shelomith and his brothers have oversight over all the things that were dedicated. All right? Now, the Bible says not only David and his captains had dedicated some of these things, but look at verse number 28. Samuel and Saul and Abner and Joab and others. So down through the years, different men had gone to war. Different men had fought five battles. And through blood, sweat, and tears, they had won the victory. And then they had taken the spoil. You understand what the spoil is. Here's Army A, if you will. And here's Army B. And Army A and Army B engage in a battle. And Army A wins. And so because of their victory, they get to go in amongst Army B and the people. And they get to take as much and as many of the special things that they had over here that they want. They might take gold. They might take silver. They might take precious jewels. They might take fancy clothes. They might take a nice tool. But they're the victor. They won the battle. So they get to spoil the defeated army. And so down through the years, all these men had gone to war. And they had spoiled the enemy. And they brought these things back, and they had dedicated it to the future temple building. And Shelomith and his brothers were in charge of watching over all those things. Let's let our imagination run just for a minute this morning. Here's a great big building in Jerusalem. Great big building in Jerusalem. And Shelomith is outside that building, and he's maybe working on some bushes or working on some landscape there outside that building. And a couple of boys, Pat, a couple of teenage boys come walking by. They go up to Shelomith and they say, Shelomith? He says, yes, son, what can I do for you, boys? And the boys say, hey, Shelomith, is this the building where all the dedicated things are kept? And Shelomith says, sure is. All the dedicated things that have been won in battle down through the years are in this building. And those boys, you know, they're curious like boys are. And said, could we see some of those things? Could we look around? He says, sure. In fact, better than just looking around. Why don't I show you? So he opens the door, and he takes these boys in this great big building. I mean, it's filled with stuff. Filled with stuff. He says, follow me, fellas. He walks over to a certain place over here, and he says, now look, fellas. He said, you see these items right here? See these items? He says, 100 years ago, Samuel went down to battle with the people of Israel. And they fought against the Philistines. And they were horribly outnumbered by that Philistine army. Horribly outnumbered. And Samuel had just a little group of Israelites up against all these Philistines. And Samuel prayed. He stopped and he prayed and asked God for the victory. And then he sacrificed a lamb. And boys, you won't believe what happened. The God of heaven sent a great thunder.
It started thundering so loud. I mean, the earth shook with the vibrations of that thunder. And all the Philistines in the army, the enemy army, they all got scared. They all got all nervous and everything. And they began to just melt away like a candle, like a fire would melt a candle. And they just spilled away. And Samuel and the Israelites won the battle that day. God gave the victory. And Samuel and some of the Israelite men went. And they got these items. And they brought them here to Jerusalem. And they've been here. They're dedicated to the house of the Lord. Samuel's responsible for these things. Come over here, let me show you this. He said, now this stack over here, that's about 80 years ago. About 80 years ago, and you can do all the reading on this and find it all out. He said, about 80 years ago, Saul went to battle. He went to battle for the men of Jabesh Gilead, I believe it was. Jabesh Gilead and the people there had been surrounded by the Ammonites. And the Ammonites came in with a strong army. And they said, servants, people of Jabesh Gilead, you're going to be our servants. We're going to make a league with you. We're going to be in an agreement here. You're going to be our servants. You're going to serve us. And if you don't agree to it, we're going to come back and we're going to pull all your right eyes out. Pluck all your right eyeballs out. And, oh, man, so you want to get along with us or not? Boy, the men of Jabesh Gilead said, man, can you give us a couple of days to pray about this and think about it? And so they said, sure, we'll be back. And so while they were praying about it, they got a hold of Saul. Saul heard about it. And son, boys, Saul took some men from the people of Israel, and he came to fight against the Ammonites. And the Ammonites showed back up in their cockiness and said, okay, are you going to be our servants or not? And boy, Saul took it to them and went to the battle. And Saul and the army of Israel defeated the Ammonites, and God gave a great victory. And after that victory was won, Saul went out, and he took this, and he took this, and he brought all this spoil back. This is 80 years old, boys. 80 years ago, Saul won the battle, and these are the dedicated spoils from that battle. And by the way, fellas, over here, back here in this corner, well, you've heard of Abner, and you've heard of Joab. Well, these men, you know, Abner and Joab, they were both captains of the hosts of the army of Israel. They were valiant men, strong men, great generals, warriors. And they took armies into battle, and they won battles. Abner won battles, and Joab won battles. And when they won the battles, they brought back the spoil. And all this stuff over here, fellas, all that you see here, came from victories that Abner and Joab won. When God fought for the people of Israel, the boys are just, I mean, man, their eyes are huge, you know, and they're looking and say, wow. And then they said, the fellas back here, yeah, Shilamith, what's all that stuff? There seems to be so much of it. And he says, fellas back here, all this stuff that you see back here, this is all King David's spoil. Oh, King David, he was a great warrior, a great soldier, and he led the army of Israel into battle over and over and over again. And God gave King David victory after victory after victory. And David was joined by the chief fathers and by the captains of the host. And every time God gave David a victory over the enemy army, he would spoil it. And he brought all this stuff in and set it in here, fellas. And all the gold and all the silver and all the wood and all the precious jewels and all the brass and all the iron and all the weapons and all the tools. And everything you see in this building was won by men with blood, sweat, and tears going into battle and fighting the battle and coming out victorious. And through blood, sweat, and tears, they brought all this stuff here, and it's all dedicated. All this stuff used to belong to the enemy. It used to all be in the hands of the enemy. But Samuel and Saul and Abner and Joab and David, they went to war, and through blood, sweat, and tears, they won the battle and won the victory, and they brought the spoils in, and they didn't just put it in any old building. They dedicated it to the house of the Lord. This is special stuff, man. Oh, Shelemith, he's got a chill bump, chills running up and down his spine, just telling those boys about all of that. Through great victory, all those things were dedicated to God. Now, we move ahead 1,000 years. I see a man, not an ordinary man. I see a unique man. I see a one-of-a-kind man. I see a man who is a prophet and a priest and a judge, and a man who someday is going to be a king going into a battle. The battle begins in a garden. It's full of olive trees. It's a place called Gethsemane. And this man has three other men with him. And
You see him from a distance. He talks to those men, and those three men sit down. And this one man, this unique man, he goes a little further. And he falls on his face, and he begins to weep and to cry out to his father. And as he prays, the prayer becomes more intense, and the forces of evil and Satan himself are trying to kill that man in the garden. And as Jesus prays and as he weeps, he begins to sweat, and the sweat is tinged with blood. So here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in a battle with Satan. Jesus, the blood, sweat, and tears coming from his body as he's involved in this battle. He's taken from that garden by Roman soldiers. He's beaten. He's scourged because Satan was doing everything he could to try to kill him before Jesus ever got to the cross. And after a few hours of winning the battle over Satan, winning every battle and every battle and every battle, after a few hours, Jesus finally got to a hill called Calvary and laid down his hands and his feet on an old rugged cross, and he was nailed there. And there for 6 hours in agony, he hung on that cross. And Satan and all of his hosts trying to kill Jesus before all the blood was shed. And Satan, Jesus enduring and fighting until finally, at the very end of the 6 hours, he cries out, "It is finished." This is not a cry of defeat. This is a cry of victory. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There will be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. Jesus is victor. Jesus has won. Sin's debt has been paid. And the spoils are His. Come in. Hey, son.
Hey, Pastor, is this where the spoils are kept?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is where the spoils are kept. Would you like to see some?
Yes.
Here's some sitting right back here. Little 11-year-old boy down in Kankakee with a daddy who deserted him. Got on an old church bus one day. Came to church and heard how Jesus loved him and died for him. And he got saved. And son, when Jesus won the battle on that cross that day, he's the spoils of that battle. He's the spoil. That's not all. What else would you like to see? We could take all morning, son. All these are the spoils of the battle. Look at here. Here's two brothers. See these two brothers over here? Both these brothers born to good dad and good mom. And both these brothers, as little boys, gave their heart to Jesus Christ. They heard how Jesus died for them and loved them and paid their sin debt on the cross of Calvary. Jesus went to battle for these boys. And he won the victory. And these boys are the spoils. The spoils of the battle that Jesus fought that day. We could talk on and on, son. Let me show you around here a little bit. This man right here lived out in Iowa. Down in the Tumwa nearby. As a young man, heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Heard about that battle that Jesus fought on the cross of Calvary. This old boy trusted Christ as his Savior. He's part of the spoils that Jesus won when he fought that battle that day. We could go on and on. All these people sitting back here in this back section here, all these folks are the spoils. Born in good homes, some of them. Some of them come out of rough homes. Here's one over here that would be a good story. This old boy right here was a Catholic. Taught a false religion. September 2001, God got a hold of his heart. Trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The night the planes ran into the towers out in D.C., Washington, and New York City. And this man right here is part of the spoils of the battle that Jesus fought across the Calvary. We can go all through the room. I see a fellow sitting over there. Just a little bitty old guy. Got on the bus one day down in Kankakee. Rode the bus to church. heard about that battle that Jesus fought on the cross of Calvary. Got saved. Been in this church longer than almost anybody else here. Part of the spoils that Jesus won when he fought on the, when he died on that cross. I go all around the room, so how many spoils would you like to hear about? How many spoils would you like to see? I see one over there in a brown jacket. Oh, that's a story. His daughters came to church. He was a messed up man. And his daughters came to church and got saved. Somebody came to visit his daughters and left a gospel tract on his door, I believe. And as a result of that, that little boy got saved. He heard about Jesus' battle on that cross and that death and resurrection. He trusted Christ as his Savior, and he's part of the spoils for the battle that Jesus won that day. Pretty good stuff, huh? You see, son, the spoils that Jesus fought for is not gold and silver. The spoils that Jesus fought for is not precious stones and fancy clothes. The spoils that Jesus fought for are souls, eternal souls that are going to live forever and ever and ever. And here's one right here. This man was in the Navy. Worked on a nuclear sub. Went to work at Commonwealth Edison. Worked with another man in this church. And through that man's testimony and witnessing, this man right here heard about Christ and got saved. He's part of the spoils. That the Lord was. When he won that battle on the cross of Calvary. Huh? And all of these people in the balcony that are born again people of God were all the spoils that Jesus fought for and won that day. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin. Listen, folks. Hey, the spoils that came with the battle that Jesus fought for and won are not gold and silver and precious stones and material and things like that that'll pass away someday. The spoils that Jesus won when he went to the cross and fought the battle he fought are eternal souls. Now let me ask you a question. Are you dedicated? In light of the battle that Jesus fought on the cross of Calvary, when you and I consider the price that was paid, when you and I think about the battle that had to be fought, when you and I think about the war that had to be won in order for us to go to heaven someday, when we think about the blood, sweat, and tears that Jesus shed for us, all of us should be dedicated to Him. You see, they brought back the spoil, and some of it just went in buildings because it was a treasure, it was a spoil. But others of the spoil that they brought back was set in a very special place. It was dedicated. It was for a specific purpose, dedicated to the purpose of God. And I want to tell you something, friend. Shame on you and shame on me if we don't understand and comprehend the great price that was paid for our salvation and understand that we are the spoils of the victory that Jesus won that day on the cross of Calvary. All of us ought to be dedicated to Him because of that. I think about the words of the songwriter who put it this way, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of my love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King." And the last verse talks about taking our love and letting it be poured out to Him. You know, friend, it is very possible to be saved, to be a treasure, and yet not be dedicated to the Lord. That seems awfully selfish. Especially in light of all that Christ did for me, in light of all that Christ did for you. Is it not too much for you and me to say that, you know, in light of the price that Jesus paid, in light of the cost of my salvation, I'll dedicate my heart, I'll dedicate my life, I'll give myself to Christ to live for Him. I may not be a preacher, I may not be a missionary or an evangelist, but my home will be different because I'm a Christian. My life will be different because I'm a Christian. My marriage will be different because I'm a Christian. My entertainment will be different because I'm a Christian, as the world's entertainment just continually digresses and goes further and further down toward the toilet. My entertainment, because I'm a Christian, is going to be different. You're not going to catch me on Facebook using acronyms that contain profane words. No, I'm not getting involved in that. Christ died. Christ sweat. Christ bled. Christ wept. If you don't believe, friend, He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. Read Hebrews chapter 5 one time. Where with strong tears, strong crying and tears, He wept in that garden. I'm telling you, through blood, sweat, and tears. And by the way, it is medically possible for a human being to sweat drops of sweat mingled and tinged with blood. There's even a medical name for it. The stress and the pressure on a person to the point the blood vessels near and so forth near the pores where the sweat drops through leak out almost, and sweat drops are tinged with blood. That's not just an acronym, a metaphor or a simile there. Friend, that's an actual happening. Jesus Christ sweat, as it were, great drops tinged by blood. And when you and I consider the price that Christ paid, should it not make a difference in my life? Should it not make a difference in your life? This matter of being dedicated in these last days has been on my heart last week, and then reading through my Bible in 1 Chronicles here and coming to this passage, coming to verse number 27, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. Here were some specific items set aside and dedicated for the cause of Christ, and those things came out of battles that had been won. And I will tell you something, we sit here this morning, spoils of the battle that Jesus Christ fought on the cross of Calvary. Spoils of the battle that He won. Spoils of the battle that He endured through blood, sweat, and tears that day. Should we not be dedicated? Shouldn't it make some difference? You say, well, I come to church. Come on, friend. Dedication involves more than trumping yourself off to church one service a week. Dedication means my life. I may not be a missionary, preacher, and evangelist, but dedication means my life. It means when I wake up in the morning, I realize that God's given me another night of health and breath and life, and I'm ready to live for Him today. If I go to work as a truck driver or a carpenter, or if I go to work on a computer, if I go to work and if I'm doing housework, no matter what I'm doing, I have life, breath, and health because of God. And not only that, I have salvation because of the battle that Jesus Christ fought on the cross of Calvary for me. I don't have to fear hell. I don't have to fear being separated from God forever. Ever and ever. I'm saved. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm saved. I'm headed there someday. All because of the battle Jesus fought for me. I belong to it. It's going to make a difference in my life today. Shouldn't it? Shouldn't it? Shouldn't it? Shouldn't the spoils that Jesus won in His battle be dedicated spoils for some purpose with the work of God? Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your life dedicated to Christ? Is it? Is it dedicated to Christ? Young person, age 20, teenager, is your life dedicated to Christ? Not some other boy or girl. To Christ. Is your life dedicated to Him? Is your home and your family dedicated to Jesus Christ? I'm talking about everything from the television to the internet to the computer to the telephone. Everything. Is it dedicated to Him? And friend, I shouldn't have to give you 8 million reasons this morning why your life ought to be dedicated and your home and your family. I should only have to give you one reason this morning. Jesus Christ went to battle for you. And the blood, sweat, and the tears that fell from His body physically, and all the sin debt that He took on Himself spiritually and died for. You and I are those spoils. We're the spoils of the battle that Jesus fought. Oh, that we would be dedicated, consecrated, sold out Christians in this day and age. Please, would you please consider that question this morning? Is your life dedicated to Christ? Is your home and family dedicated to Him? Is it? As a pastor years ago, I went forward at a revival or a teen service or a teen conference or a youth camp or something, and I dedicated my life to Christ. But you know what, friend? This old flesh that you and I battle with on a daily basis continually pulls us away from Him. And I'm not preaching for an altar call this morning, but I am going to tell you this. It doesn't hurt a child of God. I don't care how long you've been saved. It doesn't hurt you every now and again to fall at an old-fashioned altar again and say, oh, God, when I consider the price that you paid for me, when I consider the burden that you bore, when I consider the blood, sweat, and the tears that you shed for me, I want to dedicate my life to you again. Come on now, Christian. The other songwriter had it right as well. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I'm not getting on us this morning because we're prone to wander and prone to leave those decisions of dedication, because that's part of being a human. But I am saying, friend, we need to be constantly reminded and constantly aware of the fact that we don't want to wander too far and we don't want to leave for too long. We need to revisit that place of dedication on our knees, saying, Jesus, in light of all that you did for me, I give my life to you. Amen. Ladies, when you come to play the instruments in just a moment, I want you to get page number 39. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Child of God, if you've slipped away from a point of dedication, why don't you slip back to it this morning? Why don't you slip back to it? And let me say as I close this thing out this morning to anybody in this room who's not yet saved, let me tell you something, friend. You're not born a Christian. Well, I've just been saved all my life. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Every one of these people I gave an illustration about this morning came to a point of decision in their life. Some as children, some as teenagers, some as grown men, where they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You're not born a Christian. Just like being born in a garage would not make you a car. You have to come to the place where you personally put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did on that battle on the cross of Calvary, He bled and died. And the songs this morning have been about His resurrection and the story from Mark Bachman. Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. 3 days and three nights later, He came out victorious. You need to trust Him as your Savior today. Trust Him as your Savior. You know, there's a lot of people, they want to dedicate themselves to some kind of church or cause without ever being saved. That dedication won't get you anywhere. It'll just make you frustrated. It's trying to be something you're not. Come and trust Christ and be saved. Become a child of God. Be birthed into His family. And then once you get birthed into God's family, you become a child of God. Dedicate yourself. You'll be part of the spoils that Jesus fought for. Every living soul in this room who's a born-again child of God, you're the spoils that Jesus fought for on the cross of Calvary. And we all ought to be dedicated to Him. Are you? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. A very simple thought from kind of an obscure text in our Bible. Now, let me ask a couple of questions this morning before we leave here in just a few minutes. So would you listen very carefully? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's listening or nobody's talking. Please, just looking at heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just listening real carefully. Listening real carefully. Who's here today would say, Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. I can take you to a time and a place where I trusted, consciously trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. All I ask you to do is be honest. Would you please be honest with me this morning? I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift a hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Please be honest. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Take your hands down. I wonder this morning if there's one or more among us who would say, Pastor, I did not raise my hand. I was honest. I don't know. I thought you're born a Christian. I thought, you know, going to church. I thought, but I don't know that I'm saved. I can't take you to a place where I've consciously trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pastor, pray for me. I could not lift my hand a moment ago. I'll lift it now and ask you to pray for me. Would you slip it up? Just slip it up in the air and put it right back down. Anybody like that here today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you. Is there another? God bless you. Is there another? Not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else today? Not sure that I'm saved. All right, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking except for the ones that just lifted a hand right now. You lifted a hand. You're not sure that you're saved. Would you look at me just for a moment, please? Lift your hand. Look at me. Just the most important decision you'll ever make in this life is knowing that you're saved. That you're born again into God's family because you made a conscious decision to trust Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure of that, when the music begins in just a minute, if you just walk right across down these steps right over here, we'll have somebody meet you and take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I beg you to make that choice today. Do the right thing. Come to trust Christ. And a friend, if you haven't raised your hand, you don't, but you know that you're lost and you're unsaved, I want you to come when the music starts as well. We could have somebody show you from the Bible how to be a born-again Christian. Jesus fought the battle for you on the cross that day. He fought it and won it. And He wants you so badly to be His child. You come and be saved today. Now, is there somebody here that would say, Pastor Angel, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? You've been saved and not baptized. God bless you. Somebody else, if you've come to be prepared to be baptized today, you come during the invitation. Anybody else? All right. Let's do this. How many would say, Pastor, I heard you preach this morning, and I've slipped in my dedication to Him. It may not show on the outside, but in my heart, I know it. Maybe it does show, but I've slipped in my dedication. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand this morning? God bless you. I appreciate that. Are you fighting a battle right now? Inside is the Holy Spirit of God saying, raise your hand, raise your hand. Are you resisting? Don't do that, friend. Hey, listen. Human nature is to slip away. Nobody stays in a static position when it comes to dedication. Pastor, I should have raised my hand just a moment ago. I've been fighting the battle here in my heart with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to raise my hand now and say, pray for me. My dedication slipped. Somebody else? Raise your hand now. Let me pray for you. All right? God bless you. I'm going to say, Pastor, I think my dedication to Christ is okay. I think it is. But my goodness, in light of it, it was examining my heart this morning to make sure that my life is dedicated to Him, my home, my family, everything that we are and do. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning, please? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. My Heavenly Father, I love You this morning, and I thank You so much for Jesus Christ who came, fought the greatest battle that's ever been fought at the cross of Calvary for us. Thank You, oh God, that we are the spoils of that battle. Help us to be dedicated to God, dedicated to You. God, I pray for those and any others in the room this morning, raise the hand who've slipped away from that dedication, that place. I pray that they might find their way back today at an altar on their knees. God, for others who raised a hand and said, I think I'm all right, but I'm just thankful for the reminder. God, bless their heart. If any here are unsaved, I pray that You'll bring them to Christ. Most of all, I pray that You please bring people who are lost to Christ this morning. If anybody needs to be baptized, may they be obedient to Him. And we'll thank You for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand. And when we do, the ladies are going to play that old song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Are you dedicated to Him? You're part of the spoils of His battle. Are you dedicated? Do you need to come and be saved? You need to be baptized. When the music begins, you step out and use the altar this morning. Come for whatever your need is. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, ladies.